We're here today to continue our discussion of brothers that are suffering persecution in many parts of the world. This is something of an update. Hopefully you've seen the film that we've made previously regarding the brothers in Myanmar. Today I'm here with Brother Jeff and Brother Jamie, and we're going to continue giving you more and more information about not only the persecution, but how God is sustaining his people that they might remain faithful. We'll begin with Jamie and what's going on in Myanmar.
Yes, so last week we talked about the persecution in the Wa region in Myanmar.
Right.
Suddenly the police began to arrest pastors, the army began to force pastors into the army. So we heard recently that 95 pastors had been put in jail, been arrested.
95.
The police have said that the pastors can go free if they recant their faith, and two pastors have recanted. But the other 93 are continuing to endure suffering and remaining faithful at this point.
But do we know where these men are, the ones that are remaining faithful?
Yeah. We don't. It seems like even the men laboring there in that area, they don't have an idea exactly where they've placed them.
Are there any believers other than pastors that are being arrested? Do you know?
No, I don't know about any other than pastors being arrested. Mm-hmm. I do know that the churches have been disbanded. A lot of that's because the pastors are in jail. But even a pastor that we support, even though he escaped, the church was demolished. It was destroyed by the government.
I think for me, when I think about this, that of course our hearts and our prayers are with the pastors, but then you have to think also about their families. I think about their wives, their children, and then the believers themselves. You know, in areas like this, pastors play such a vital role. They're not just someone who gets up in a pulpit, preaches, and then you don't see them again. They're doing the work of a shepherd, and now those sheep are without a shepherd. And so we really, really need to pray.
Yeah. 95 pastors in this area, that's probably all the pastors that actually are in that particular province. So, I mean, it has wiped out the leadership of the church in that area. Now, thankfully, through our contact, we were able to get funds to help the families of four of the pastors. So there's great opportunity the Lord has blessed us with in that way.
Well, that's an area in which heart cry, we need to keep investigating and just pushing as far as we can, because we can't just say that we have brothers that are persecuted, but there's nothing we can do. No one's told us. But we've got to keep investigating to find every means possible, not only to help these pastors, but also to help their wives and their children, who obviously will be suffering.
Yeah, so we can't put up online, but one picture that we have is of one of the pastors, his wife, and two precious little children. But the pastor's arrested, so the wife and the children are there without their husband. So it just breaks your heart to see this precious family, their father, the husband's been taken to jail. Even when the family goes to the jail where they think the pastors are being held to take food to them, because that's the way they're provided for, they're not even sure if the food's getting to the pastors, to their family, to their husbands.
I've seen instances, not with regard to prison, but on the mission field where packages were to be delivered by the authorities, and they would stand there and open up the boxes and then eat the food in front of me and just laugh, you know, that type of thing, or take things from it and just put it in their pockets and laugh. So I can imagine that probably most, if anything, is getting to the people.
Yeah, so if we can continue to pray for those pastors to remain faithful, but also in the Wa region, God has really been working through the gospel in a lot of the villages where there's animist. People were coming to faith in Christ. There were small groups that were beginning to assemble, and now those young, fledgling bodies are without a leader. So we need to really lift up the pastors, they would be faithful, but the congregations, that the Lord would continue to sustain them as well.
You know, many times in the West, you know, people will look at persecution and they'll go, wow, I wish I had an opportunity to live in that kind of first century context. And I want to tell them, no, you don't. I think you made the statement that there's nothing glamorous about persecution, and there's not. It is frightening. It is difficult. It exacts a heavy toll, not only on the one being persecuted, but also on family, on churches, on friends. And even though we know God is sovereign, and we know that God is going to turn this against his enemies, that doesn't take away from the fear and the tears and the heartbreak and the pain. And we need to pray. We need to seek as much as we can to identify with what's going on and pray as though we were there.
Yeah.
You know? Wow. Well, anything else about that region that you want to share?
Well, not in Myanmar, but we had the opportunity this morning to Skype with a couple of pastors from China. And, you know, China's beginning to put more and more pressure against the church. So we want to continue to pray for the church in China, who seems to be on the verge of suffering even more persecution.
Wow. And here's the thing, just a few months ago, we were talking about, you know, we were marveling at the fact that, you know, just a matter of a few years ago, many of these areas could not be reached with the gospel. The door had opened for the gospel to be preached in so many new areas. And now the doors seem to be closing. And that gives to me a sense of urgency. Whenever a door is open, you know, we ought to be pouring through there like a flood with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Not with anything else, but the gospel of Jesus Christ. Wow. Well, Jeff, we've heard a lot now about Myanmar and about China. You also work in Asia. Can you tell us what's going on in other places?
Yeah, we're seeing most of the same thing, but just in different form than what Jamie is seeing. So we're not seeing the arrests from the police, but we are seeing a lot of pressure from the government, especially when it comes to finances and getting money from the West into whether India or Nepal. The government is really cracking down on any kind of wire transfers and trying to get into the country. The customs office, the visa office, is really cracking down, asking a lot more questions, making you sign documents about religious activity before you come into the country. But the thing that really is beginning to ramp up in both of those areas is the religious fanatics. The right-winged religious fanatics have really taken charge in many of the areas. They feel this incensed boldness because they know that the government and the local authorities are behind them. So I'm hearing stories every single week of churches getting stopped, of marches and mobs coming in and threatening the pastors. In fact, one guy I know, a young guy just fresh out of seminary in southern India, he ministers in a handicap home. People who have mental disabilities, he goes in there and with all his love just shares the gospel with them, takes them through Bible stories, and just really gives his life to them. He was stopped recently and attacked by a couple of Hindus, beaten up. He's okay, he's recovered, but they said, if we ever see you back here again, we'll kill you. So we see stories like that all throughout India. In fact, recently, many of the southern Indian brothers that we support as missionaries contacted me and said, listen, we're feeling the pressure. We need to remove our names and our locations and our profiles off the Heart Cry website. Now, it has never been like that before. Usually in North India, we see a great deal of persecution, but in South India, it's more laid back in that regards, but no more. It is starting to infect the entire country. Recently in Nepal, about a month and a half ago, the Nepali government instituted an anti-conversion law. Now, this is new. And they said that if anybody, whether it is foreign or a national, is caught handing out tracts or witnessing the gospel of Jesus Christ to anyone, and they are turned in, they will suffer 5 years in prison or up to a 50,000 rupee fine. And what that does to the country, it emboldens the religious fanatics, the Hindus. And one of our guys just recently, it's probably about 2 months ago, he has been ministering in this remote village, traveling hours to get there, was stopped on the side of the road and threatened his life. And they said, if you come back in this way, we will physically beat you. And they forced him to turn around. Now, our missionary, he's a loving man. And so he decided to make a new plan and to park his car somewhere else and hike over a mountain for 5 hours to get into this village just so he can minister to the people there, because we have seen the Lord work there. There have been several who have confessed Christ. I'm talking first-generation Christians. And so, unfortunately, he was not able to execute that plan. The police were called, and they were pulled into the police station and questioned for several hours. And they said that we will let you go in, but you have to first get a signed authorization from the local authorities. Give your name, your church address, and we advised him, don't do that, because then you will be on record.
Mm-hmm.
So we're working other avenues to try and still minister to those people. So please be in prayer for that. I mean, sheep without a shepherd up there. So always vulnerable.
It is absolutely astounding to me that doors can open so quickly, and at the same time those doors can close. Now we know that our Lord Jesus Christ is the one who opens doors that no man can shut. No man can shut.
Amen.
And so we've got to, we've got to hold that in attention. It is a battle in which sometimes we win and sometimes we lose. And yet, over all of this is a sovereign Lord who's going to carry out his plan. And his plan in the end will mock those who stand against him. But the battle's real.
Amen.
The battle's real. And it just makes me realize that, seeing these doors not close necessarily, but they're narrowing. Mm-hmm. It's like every day I need to work harder. While it is still day, because night comes when no man will work. All right, well, to bring this to a close, just any final words, Jamie, anything that you would?
I would just reiterate the importance of prayer. Prayer.
Amen.
Praying for our brothers and sisters, remembering them, interceding, for them before the Lord. Paul told Timothy to endure suffering as a good soldier. So let's pray that God would give them grace to endure. But at the same time, Paul also taught the church to pray that God would cause the government to allow the church to live a quiet and peaceable life so that the gospel could go forth unhindered.
Amen.
Prayer. Let's pray for our brothers and sisters.
And we need to always remember, prayer is not, our last resort. It is our first resource.
Mm-hmm.
It is the place where we need to go. And I also realize, something that I saw years and years ago is that somebody in the West may say, well, I live in the West and I don't have to suffer. But we can say, I don't have to suffer, but I can choose to suffer.
Mm-hmm.
Not in any sort of monkish sort of way. What I mean is, okay, take that lunch period of yours every once in a while and just go out and pray for an hour.
Amen.
If you wake up in the middle of the night and you just can't go back to sleep, instead of getting your cell phone or whatever and getting on Facebook, get on your knees.
Amen.
And we can choose in small ways, though not superficial, in small ways, to join with our brothers and sisters in Christ. Jeff?
Yeah, I mean, just a reminder that we're not talking about facts and figures and numbers. You know, sometimes we'll read a persecution website and we'll see the numbers and it'll break our hearts, but we got to make sure that you get on and look. There's faces, there's families, there's souls behind each number. I mean, I've seen these guys face to face, and I remember being in a conference one time, and it was the most humbling thing. I just taught on the church, and I don't know what it was, but during the question and answer session, it was quiet. And so I just asked, I said, can I just ask you guys a question? How many in here have been beaten for their faith? And 50% of the men raised their hands. I'm talking 80 people there. And it was almost, it was just so humbling to me. So you can read numbers and you can read in the scriptures about persecution, but there are souls and there's faces behind each one of these men that we're talking about. So pray, pray, pray.
You know, that reminds me of something that I think is very important. When we see men like that, and all of us have, and been with them, you know, you want to somehow meet an emotional need. You want to hug them, you know, you just... But you know, when it really comes down to it, what do they need? The Word.
Amen.
In times of persecution, in times of suffering, in times of privation and need, you know, it isn't some quaint cliche that's going to pull you through. It is knowing the attributes of God, knowing who God is, you know. And with missions, I always think about this. You know, over the years, I have seen people and taught people that I was not worthy to even carry their sandals. You men have done the same thing. And I always think about, why am I here? What does it mean for me to do missions? And that is this. I need to look at what is in my hand. In God's providence, what has God given me that in God's providence He hasn't given that other brother? You know, and I look at the fact, okay, I was saved in a country where I was allowed a very good theological education, learned hermeneutics and Greek and Hebrew and church history, and then privy to hearing great sermons, you know, from the past and the present and wonderful books. And most of my brothers who have suffered terribly for Christ, you know, they've never had the privilege of studying and studying and studying. It's hard to really get down and write a theology when you're running for your life. And so, you know, when we go to these places, that's what Americans and people from the West need to understand. The greatest gift we can give them is not some sort of emotional consolation, but give them the Word, the Word, the Word. Teach them, teach them, teach them. And not about strategies or methodologies, but about who is God, what is the gospel, you know, and how does God care for His people? Well, I thank you again, all of you, for coming, and I'm sure that in the days and weeks to come, we'll be back to talk more about this. And thank you if you're watching this video. It was made not primarily for you. It was made for them, those in the field. It is for you only to the degree that we want you to see these things, and we want you to give us your best response. And what is that? Prayer, 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 prayer. Please pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ, not only in the areas where these men work, but areas all over the world where the body of Christ is suffering. God bless you, and thank you.